Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about...
Okay, this is episode 7 of Cosmos Magazine, issue 83, and this next article is Inside Out, Icardian Fossils Might Represent Internal Structures. Okay, now the Icardian are pre-dinosaurs. I think these are the ones to pre-fish. This is the first, I think, the first big multicell organisms. I think they're the doormats. I just remember. They're truly ancient organisms, but do paleontologists really know what they look like? Elizabeth Finkel reports. So Elizabeth Finkel is a fantastic author. Great. Icardians are weird-looking things, estimated to be over 560 million years old. So 15 million years is fish, so they're 60 million years ahead before fish. They offer the best answer to Darwin's dilemma. What preceded the Cambrian explosion, which spawned the prototypes of most modern animals 541 million years ago? So yeah, it's 550 is where you get the fish starting to come out. So it's a little bit early. But Icardian organisms, the ancient fossils which have been found worldwide, throw up their own dilemmas. Dilemmas. For one, what exactly were they? Some resemble plants, but they aren't because they live too deep to access light. Others have trifold symmetry that doesn't exist anymore, which we've got bifold, trifold. Some were bilaterally symmetrical, and these are the best candidates for prototypes for today's animals. Beyond Darwin's dilemma lies another one, more mundane, but no less pressing to scientists. Icardians were soft-bodied, evidenced by the fact their fossils depict them as folded over or with bits torn off. But how did they fossilize? They're not like trilobites or dinosaur bones, or rather petrified 3D replicas of the original. They are impressions stamped onto sandstones. Sandstones, that's pretty amazing. Icardian-style fossils are almost never seen again later in the record, probably because the sediments became infested with burrowing creatures that churned the sand and destroyed any traces. That is interesting, isn't it? Isn't that interesting? That would be really interesting, because they are so ancient. I think there's worms back to that stage. We're looking at pretty amazing. The Rayleigh theory is that storm events, despite deposited light rain of sediment on the medium shallow depths of the seafloor, where the Icardians grazed on lawns made of microbes. Once buried, the microgoo mixed with materials such as pyrite and the sands to cement a death mask of the creatures. Oh, okay, that could possibly make sense. Now paleontologists Ira Borowski from the Australian National University and colleagues have come up with a new explanation. No death mask is required, they say. Rather, they propose is an article in the article of Nature, Ecology and Evolution, the flow properties or rheological of different sediments could explain the imprints. It's a welcome addition, said Guy Nuppen of the paleontologist from Queen's University in Canada who works on Icardian sites in Newfoundland, but it's not necessarily do away with other models. The death mask theory to explain Icardian's impression fossils holds up well in places such as the Australian Flinders Ranges, where the fossils were first discovered in 1947 in the Canada Hills, and the second point in Newfoundland. 1947 is probably... I can't remember. Margaret Twig, the Twigs. The death mask theory to explain Icardian impression folds. Okay. Australian fossils are rich in the types of cementing material required. One Newfoundland death mask came from volcanic ash, which formed a quick concrete on creatures below, explains Darbon. But while that's a good explanation for those places, it doesn't hold up well for fossils and other prolific Icardian sites, Russia's White Sea. There, Borowski found little evidence that cementing minerals are needed. The Russian fossils haven't been exposed to huge temperatures and pressure changes like the ones the Flinders Ranges. Extremes like alter the rocks and complicate the ability to analyse how fossils first formed, said Borowski. Nevertheless, the Icardians in the White Sea still resemble those in the Flinders Ranges, and they appear to be stamped in the underside of sediments. That got Borowski wondering how the rocks in which, with such radically different histories, nevertheless produce similar fossil imprints. He resurrected an old theory, first proposed to the Flinders Ranges by paleontologist Mary Wade in 1968. Rather than cementing death marks over the top, the idea was the preserving agent was sand from below oozing into the space vacated. The creatures began to decompose. That is interesting. That's interesting. Eventually, the sand filled the entire space, preventing overlying material from collapsing and thus preserving the imprint. Find that hard to... The White Sea fossils indeed lie on top of clay, which is more fluid than the underlying sandstone. So it fits with the theory. So clay is, if you meant microparticles, so you can have the... I could imagine that. It decays and this... In the Flinders Ranges, Borowski says the underlying sand tends to be smaller grained and more rounded than the overlying one. So rounded means it's eroded. Smaller grains means it's... All things that would make the lower material better flowing. Borowski decided to test this theory in the lab. To stimulate the disintegrating fossil, he used a Death Star, a dome-shaped ice block with a brick-like pattern on the surface, and constantly a strip of cardboard embedded inside. In a White Sea simulation, he sat the Death Star on a clay base and buried it in fine sand under the pressure equivalent to 40 centimetres of thick sand layer. Then, in the Flinders Ranges simulation, he sat them on a base of rounded sand, overlaid with angular sand. So the angular sand is like, you know, the angular sand is very much, you see in the US they build these huge sand castles. The angular sand has got a different angular angle of repose. It's really interesting to look at. It's interesting that if the rounded sand is the sand in long jump pits, because it becomes liquid and flows, it's like jumping into a liquid. But if you put bricky sand, if you jumped into bricky sand, you'd just break your legs. In both cases, the ice melted, the lower sediments flowed directly above the space vacated by the melting Death Star and prevented the sands above from collapsing. The final imprint registered on the surface, however. It's not that the external brick pattern, but of an internal cardboard corrugation. So this may be just the internal organs of them. It appeared to have created an overprint, says Borowski. The upshot, he says, is that this method of preservation is indeed at work, then the fossil imprints may not represent the true surface of the organism, but an internal, more resilient structure. Borowski's theory is a welcome addition, but with caveats. When it comes to the mechanism of preservation in the White Sea, it has been blank, says Nabor. I think the paper is important, arguing that the prevailing preservation mechanism is not part of the equation. He adds, though, it doesn't eliminate other possibilities. Like all good sediments, it raises nearly as many questions as it answers. Jim Gelding, a paleontologist at the South Australian Museum and expert in the Flinders Ranges Icardians, a theory fails to explain the vast array of photographed and cast specimens of Dicksonian fossils, including evidence of thorn specimens, folded over systems, and serial resting traces regarded as evidence of staged movements. I would actually say that if you fold it over, if you've got it folded over, it doesn't mean structure. I think that nails it. Paleontologist Alex Liu, Cambridge University, sees the middle path. I think that's the most likely scenario, that both early cementation and the effects of rheology acted in combination to preserve Cardian fossils in the Flinders Ranges and elsewhere, he says. Well, that's it. So rheology means the flow. So the effects of rheology and a combination... sedimentation. So cement means that essentially you get nanoparticles in there. So cementing, you require clay to surround your glass particles, and the clay melts to form your glass. Okay, 9 minutes in. Hello, darling. Are you going to drumming? Okay, have some fun time. Hope you enjoy it, darling. Okay. I've got to go and cook my kids' dinner.
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.